Welcome to Adelaide Plains Chapter and Verse monthly podcast for all aspiring wordsmiths and versifiers.
Okay, we're here today for our podcast, and today being the 26th of October 2017. And we are, Jeanette, tell us who we are. Who are we?
We are Adelaide Plains Chapter and Verse.
That's
which is an offshoot of Adelaide Plains Poets, Inc.
And that's something exciting that I did, which is relevant-ish, more relevant. I spoke at the Evanston Library just recently, and I spoke about Adelaide Plains Poets, how it got started, what happens, what we do, and invited people to come along if they wish to.
Excellent. Who's present?
Well, I'm Marilyn, and I'm present.
I'm Carol, the president of Adelaide Plains Poets. Carolyn, I'm present, and...
Jeanette, I'm here.
It's good. Jeanette's got the microphone. And what we're doing today is we're going to talk about writing, poets, writers, a bit of a discussion there, and there'll be a tip for a writer's tip or a publishing tip. There'll be a word of the day, the readings of our own work, if we can find them, and then there'll be a listener challenge. So get your pen and paper ready just in case you want to take part in any or all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, for this month, I thought we'd talk about what we've been reading and not necessarily books or poems. Because
no.
I haven't actually had time to do a lot of reading in the last.
I have been reading a book. I can't remember the name of either the book or the writer. He's American. He's an entrepreneurial type person and he's a bit inspiring. A bit scary, as these people tend to be sometimes. You know, they've got the fire in their blood, and if you don't stand out their way, you'll catch fire yourselves. Anyway, I'm getting some ideas for things that aren't related to what he's talking about, really just my own little... It's entrepreneurial, no, just my own little things that I do. But I do spend a lot of time, far too much time, on Facebook and Twitter, and I enjoy my time there, on both of them. And that's writing.
Yes, absolutely.
Connecting, writing.
It's writing and it's reading.
Comments. You have to have words to make a comment.
That's right, yeah.
Or an original post.
It's topical.
Yes, certainly. And also I did a blog post because that's relevant too. That is writing. You can't get a blog unless you're doing a photographic blog post, which I don't do because that's not my thing. Words are my thing.
Plus you've also done some writing for Crossroad Chronicle.
Oh, and the Crossroad Chronicle, of course, because I'm the editor of the Mallard Crossroad Chronicle, and it's almost ready to go, and that's why one of the reasons I'm not going out tonight is because I want to get the Chronicle set off.
Carolyn, I'm also got myself reading a book I don't really like at the moment, but you start reading these books. It's called something like Assault in the Azaleas, because some guy who was pretty... nasty to everybody, so there's a lot of suspects. He was found in the azalea bed and dead.
Ah.
And so who did him in? Well, really, I don't think I could care less. But I'm... I'm nearly there, and I think when I've finished, I'll probably dispose of the book in my recycling bin, because it's...
So you won't force on anybody?
I would not, no.
Is it a male author?
I can't remember the name of the author. I don't think so. It reads more like a female, wrote it.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
That might be a topic for another discussion.
Yes, can you really tell?
Yes, I think so. I think usually you can.
Yeah.
I did write one book with a male protagonist, and that was really... challenging, and there's a reason why I chose the protagonist to be male, not female. But I kept asking Justin, I kept consulting him.
Because he's a bloke.
Because women don't necessarily like men well. Men certainly don't like women well.
They think they do, but that's just...
Yeah.
They're wrong about so many things, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
Women are wrong about many things too.
It's difficult to write different gender.
So as writers, and certainly as producers of books, we really should be doing our bit and reading actual books. If we want other people to read our books, we should be
That's a dilemma, and that could be our writer's tip. I mean, to be a good writer, you do need to read lots of fiction, but when you're writing, you don't have time. So I set aside Christmas, New Year is my fiction reading time. I set that aside. Most of my reading's online, reading news, Guardian, read news stories, book reviews, and there's a book coming out, or just came out, I'm really, really excited about.
What's that?
Philip Pullman's got a new, started a new trilogy.
Okay.
Sort of fantasy. I really enjoyed the first series. It's young adult, but...
So what sort of fantasy? Because there's fantasy,
it's
fantasy.
Reality.
Okay, yep. So your John Birmingham type of fantasy, he does reality, but he does it quite local.
And Justin's buying me, asked for an Anglo-Saxon dictionary for Christmas.
Oh, really? An Anglo-Saxon dictionary?
It was on my wish list.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Oh, yeah, there's a few. It's more than one. It's been on my wish list for a long time. We're talking about something, and I said to the boys about Anglo-Saxon language, and said, I don't have the Anglo-Saxon dictionary yet. And all three of them turned around and said, yet? I said, well, it's on my wish list. And they turned to Justin and said, so that's what you want for Christmas. And Justin was sitting there, didn't hear a thing. And so it became a bit of a joke. So now he's obligated to buy me the Anglo-Saxon dictionary.
So would that help you to understand Chaucer? Would it have that sort of language?
Chaucer's a bit late. It's a mix of
Norman.
It's Middle English.
So there's a bit of German in it?
In Chaucer?
In...
Oh, Anglo-Saxon, yes.
Yes.
It'd be more like Germanic.
Yeah.
I have... online dictionaries, and I try to use in the historical novel I'm writing, I try to use Anglo-Saxon names as much as possible.
Okay.
I decided that it would be sort of based on Anglo-Saxon society.
Mm.
So,
this is why I write contemporary rather than historical, so I'm not interested in history. It's finished, it's over. My head says, no, been done, forget it.
But we have so much to learn from history, if only we would. There's the saying that people that understand history are doomed to watch other people repeat the same mistakes.
I mean, when the song History Never Repeats, history repeats over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch and you see it happening and you go,
yes,
why do we even bother?
Mm-hmm.
We know that's not going to end well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to say? Anything more you want to say?
No, I think we're up to word of the day, which I'm very interested to find out what it means. I've heard them.
Yes. And the word of the day is puggery. It's a P-U-G-G-E-R-Y.
Yes.
And I discovered it when I was reading, doing the research into the family history. It means, or refers to a cloth band or scarf wrapped around the crown of a hat. It's probably derived from the Indian word pagan for turban.
Well, I never.
Yeah.
Puggery.
Puggery. And I found it in a court case.
Yeah. You and your court case.
Yes. Smithfield, 1869, I think. It was one of the last cases that I've described. And the ancestors were actually just witnesses in this one. They weren't involved. Their neighbour...
This time, yes.
The neighbour that they'd had so many battles with had beaten up another neighbour's son.
Oh, nice.
Who, I think he was working, but he doesn't sound very old. I'd say he was probably about 17. And he lost his books, his hat and his puggery. And he got against the court case. And he was very upset about losing his books, his hat and his puggery. So, and what happens, he then jumped the fence into the Millican house and gone in there and waited in their kitchen until his father and brothers came to collect him, escort him home in safety from these terrible turners who'd beaten him up.
Oh, wow.
It was a wild days down in Smithfield back then. But later, within 6 months, they were back in court for beating up a servant as well.
Oh, nasty.
Yeah, they clearly weren't there. I was trying not to take sides, but...
Well, I think anybody who beats up one of the vulnerable people in this world is probably not a nice person.
No, I don't think they're nice people. And that shot of cockatoo. I don't think anyone that shoots cockatoos is very nice either.
Well, unless you're hungry and you're a good shot, what would they have been shooting with?
Rifle? I don't know that much about...
Weaponry?
Firearms and... Yeah, not one of my areas of expertise.
Mm. As long as they didn't lose their puggery while they were doing it.
Yes, that's right.
I just had this little idea, puggery, little farm with... Where pugs are brought up into this world. And they're really cute.
When I was looking up puggery, I came up with cloths to go around pugs, winter coats for pugs.
I gave a border dash. Maybe we should do that next time.
Mm.
You should come up with a word and we should write what we think it means.
Oh, that's a fun idea, yeah.
Yes, that is a fun idea. Well, we'll move along to the writer's tip. I guess the writer's tip is if you're going to write, read.
Read, yep. And read in your genre to get an idea about what you're up against.
That's
but also
right.
Read as widely as you can because you never know what might come into your own writing. You might have decided to read a cookbook and then from a cookbook you can go, oh, I reckon that my main character has a passion for cakes. And, you know, that can broaden your character and what they're all about, what they're interested in and that sort of thing. And it's, you know, you can never learn too much about other things.
I mean, I think continuing to read this book that I'm not really interested in, I should try and see if I can put my finger on exactly what's not happening right.
Yes. Yeah, that's good to...
Yeah, so is it that they're not doing something that as a writer you would do yourself, or are you just being too picky? Or...
No, if it doesn't... gel, it doesn't gel, and there's a reason.
Yeah,
it's good
it's
to
not
try.
It's not very often I find a book I can't get interested in.
I was enjoying the book, but I just felt it didn't... When something happened that should be really a tense moment, it wasn't tense at all. And so I tried to, when I wrote a similar scene, to up the tent to make sure it was tense and exciting and not flat. You often do, learn from reading a book thinking that doesn't work. Why? How am I going to make that work? So
because
books have to be something you aspire to be.
Yeah.
You want a bit of both.
As the reader, sometimes you feel that you've got a greater knowledge of what the author is writing about. If someone was talking about dogs and they said something really stupid, I go, oh, you don't know dogs like I know dogs. I know dogs intimately well.
Yes.
Have lived with many.
So, reading of own works.
Okay, I've got a poem which I wrote, and my poem was based on something I had back to Facebook again, based on a poem I read on Facebook. And the person who wrote the poem that I based my own poem on was a man called, I forgot what his name is, Peaches is what he's called. Peaches, he's always been Peaches to me, but that's not actually his name. He's a lovely, lovely person. He's quite well known in the Adelaide poet world. Okay, so based on his poem, this is mine. My poem is called The Truth About Life. What's life all about? Good question, this one. Yeah, life. You want the truth? You got to live it. Throw up on it, remember it, forget it, angst over it, forgive yourself for it, forgive those others. Who? You know who. Think about it all again. Then, based on your thoughts, unforgive them. Remember stuff, forget it again. Then forgive yourself once, twice, three times more. Realise you've moved beyond, below, above, and well away from those who label as life. And well away from what others label life as, but what feels like prison to you. And you're still not even close yet to finally know what life is all about. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Very, very deep and heavy there, Carolyn.
Yes, I like that.
Not bad for Facebook response,
yes,
eh?
Yes. Pretty good for Facebook response.
Forgiveness is hard.
Yep.
Come on. Okay.
I've written something based on what if I could walk up walls and ceilings.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So I won't read the whole essay because it would take too long. but I did think at the beginning that ladies would need to wear suitable attire, and Scotsmen with kilts would have to wear something else. People with long hair would have to have it suitably put up before they could enjoy it. But I did think that it could be useful in hanging pictures, would be a breeze, and you could change light globes standing on your head. The downside would be that cleaning a room would be increased fivefold as kids with muddy shoes come in and run all over the walls and ceiling as well as the floor.
Not just the one floor, and lots of surfaces. The fewer surfaces, the better.
And you could see the dust that you wouldn't normally see.
That's right. Taking children supermarket shopping would be fun. Go play chasey on the ceiling while Mummy does her shopping. Jason, just hand me down that jar of coffee on the top shelf. No, don't throw it. You might miss the trolley and it'll smash on the floor. Just give it to me. Jason, I wish you would listen and do what Mummy says. Sorry, Mum. So sorry to the lady who has to clean it up. A few weeks later, children not permitted on ceiling signs are plastered all over the supermarket.
The Jason rule, that one.
Then I thought, finding someone in a crowded hall could be made easier by searching for them whilst halfway up the wall or on the ceiling, and could bring new meaning to the phrase, "I just dropped in to see you," as you neatly somersault midair and land on your feet right next to them. Parliamentarians could cross the ceiling instead of the floor to vote. In an emergency, the number of people in a lift could be doubled as half stand on the ceiling. In church, pastors could pace the ceiling while they preach and check that the youth actually are looking at the Bible on their phones and not Facebook.
Teachers could do the same.
Quite a fun topic, that one.
I just wrote something very, very briefly using the word panjandrum from last month, so it's only one very brief paragraph, but I'll read that. Amongst the panjandrums of Smithfield, James had no place. There was a sense that he remained on the social periphery, a little resentful perhaps of those who defended their privilege. This attitude came across in some of his court evidence, and it's also an undercurrent in some of those letters to the editor, which may well be penned by him. And I found the evidence, from the Ridgeway boy about using the word puggery. I found the word puggery, so I'll read that too. Was carrying my books at the time. Coombs then rushed at me from under Turner's veranda. Might have struck Turner after he struck me before Coombs came up. Mrs. Turner also flanged stones at me, and in the scuffle my books fell, and in trying to pick them up, Coombs struck me again. My hat and puggery was knocked off. At the end of the case, concludes with, and I still haven't found my hat, books, hat and puggery.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
I think they'll find about a pound.
I can remember when I was a child, and my father was a horse trainer, and he would take horses from where we lived at Klemzig to Gawler, passing through Smithfield on the way. And in those days, it was paddock after paddock after paddock with sheep in it, or cows or whatever was in it. Yep. And now it's house after house after house, which is just life changes.
The boys call a goat could leap from roof to roof.
Yeah, it's incredible. Our solicitor's challenge is to
spring in Gawler.
Spring in Gawler. Look, find some spring in Gawler. There's lots of spring-related things in Gawler.
Darn.
Just check out some flowers or something wonderful in springish or events.
In Gawler,
lots of events.
So spring in Gawler is the listener's challenge for this month.
Yep, spring into Gawler.
Yes, spring into Gawler.
Beautiful. Lovely. Done.
Yep, done. And that's it for today.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
We'll be back next time.
For our Christmas
themed. Oh, ho, ho, ho.